Hi, my name is Amal Dublon. I'm going to read a text I wrote about Shannon Finnegan's solo show, Slower, at Deborah Shimone Gallery. Slower is a show about pacing. Shannon Finnegan's work often furnishes the conditions to spend time with others' artwork. However pronounced their commentaries on infrastructure, Finnegan's benches and seating in particular make time. They collect acts of rest into a performative group utterance of assent. Rest here if you agree, they say. This invitation to rest may partake in a loose tradition of art historical contractualism, among any number of ways quote-unquote participation has been solicited. Beyond that, though, it's also cross-disability culture extending itself to those who may not, yet or ever, allow themselves to identify as disabled, but who might still acknowledge how good it feels to rest, as a feeling they might share with others. The commonness of that feeling, implied by the very provision of a seat and named by the text painted on it, marks access as a place to get together, whether or not you arrive at the same time. In this way, Finnegan's benches inside the gallery share an impulse with another series of projects, Anti-Stairs Club Lounge, which performs a refusal to enter an inaccessible structure, instead outfitting a place outside, a place to wait or boycott in the present or implied company of others. Audio description makes time too, not merely offering access to visual media, but rather making access with. The relay of description allows perception itself to appear in all its sociability and variation, like a JPEG slowly rendering. Description requires what it extends, time to think, receive, transmit, and absorb. In this case, what is relayed is not just visual, but, quote, access to the recent history of the gallery, in Shannon's words. Shannon asked Deborah to describe previous exhibitions, in part to get to know Deborah, the other artworks, and this place they have never been to. It was also a way to get Deborah to slow down and to, quote, build a group show without having to bring objects back into the space. A solo show is an interesting problem in this context. All of these works are fundamentally dependent on other people's artworks that they appear to be in the service of. The benches and audio description in particular rely for their very function and rationale upon the presence of other works to which they offer neither a frame nor a commentary, but rather an altered temporality. It's tricky, then, to exhibit Shannon's works by themselves instead of as support for and supported by a group. At a gallery, too, sitting feels different than it might at a museum or other aspirationally public institution. At a gallery, you might arrive and leave under the eye of the front desk, with the shifty feeling of entering a small store where things are for sale, but not to you. There's a particular kind of standing engendered in this environment, a kind of rushed performance of contemplation, as if to politely nod at all the works in the exhibition. There's no extended anonymous wandering of institutional corridors, no neglected zones to spread out in, no cafeteria or coffee shop. In other words, there's hardly any pacing or intervals. Is it the bench that gives the artwork time to unfold? Or is the artwork also perhaps grounds to decelerate, sit down a bit longer? It can be difficult to rest in public without something to prop your mind on. Here, however, the only visual objects to consider are the day clocks, which move so slowly that it's hard to tell if they're working at all. The manufacturer's website, Finnegan notes, markets day clocks as novelty gifts for retirees or beach homes, but also as access tools for those with memory loss. Finnegan first saw a clock like this at a friend's parents' house and found themselves immediately drawn to it with a kind of recognition, as if it were a stray amulet of disability culture. They bought one and lived with it during the onset of the pandemic. Sometimes, to check if it was still running, they would have to leave the room and come back later. What are the objects of disability culture? Finnegan asks. I think of Carolyn Lazard's extended stay, 2019, a small monitor of the kind found in hospital rooms, mounted on a metal arm, showing live cable TV. What are the textures and experiences of disability, felt by many, shared across spaces and times that are often forcibly separated from one another? The day clocks in this way recall Deborah's description of artwork that isn't up right now for people who were not able to be there in person. There's a well-worn paradox by which disabled people, often described as the world's quote-unquote largest minority, are nonetheless perhaps its most structurally isolated, separated, and exceptionalized. And this despite the fact that almost nothing feels better than finding oneself inside a crowd of disabled people. Crip time happens at the tempo and variable syncopation of actual body minds in the process of assembly. But it is also the long delay, the Doppler effect of missing each other and getting together outside of time, even if it's one at a time. My student, Danny Halverson, is working on a project about letter writing as a Crip practice, with its descriptions of space-times in which we both are and are not together. My friend Julie Tolentino speaks about saving voicemail cassettes with messages from friends who have passed away. Slower is a show about pacing, which is to say it's about intervals. These may be intervals of perception or rest, but they're also the intervals by which we overlap even when we don't appear to be there together.